Hello, welcome to Values, Virtues, Ethics and Morality. I would like to introduce you to Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. Today's topic is called manipulation, and it fits into our theme because Sister Denise wants to explore how historically one has been manipulated into feeling and thinking and speaking the way we do. We ask you during this show to keep an open mind, to re-look at your own value system to see whether it works for you. The format of the show is called Socratic Dialogue, which means that I will be putting questions to Sister Denise in order to elicit a universal understanding of truth, and Sister Denise will also take us into her understanding of spiritual laws that govern human conduct. Sister Denise, thank you so much for joining us today, and a very, very warm welcome to today's show.
Thank you.
How has being manipulated affected human conduct over the past few centuries that has brought us to the point where we are here today? And what is I find scary about manipulation is the manipulee does not know that they've been manipulated. And that makes me uncomfortable about it.
Take the question of politeness. You know, people are raised to be polite. And the politeness means that if a person older than you wants you to do something, it is impolite not to go along with it, which gives them freedom to get you to do something wrong. And it prevents you from defending yourself because it's impolite. There are many instances where people need to speak out, and they don't speak out because if they did, it would be called impolite. And so impoliteness has been given greater power, greater importance than truth. And that is a very dangerous kind of manipulation.
Mm. How does one know when one is being manipulated?
I think you kind of don't until you get too far down the road and you get trapped, and then it becomes very difficult to come out of it.
Okay.
So what happens is your conscience says, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here is wrong, and then your training of being polite says, oh well, this is a very important person, therefore I can't say anything. This is a celebrity, this is a, you know, person of substance, this is a doctor, you know, you have to give a lot of respect and regard to people in these positions because they are considered right, you know, by definition. So therefore the manipulee starts to doubt themselves, and then the manipulator will say to the manipulee, if you ever tell anyone about this, I will make sure that you get severely punished, you see. So then there are threats that come as soon as the manipulee starts to defend themselves. Because then the manipulator starts to say to the victim, their victim, that they are the bad guy in this situation, and convince the manipulee that, well, you got yourself into this situation because you are a bad person. And so if you say a single word about this, I'll make sure, because me, I'm known to be an important, upright, upstanding person, and you are a mere child who is known to be without conscience, liable to be naughty, and liable to lie, you see. So the whole thing is stacked against the victim. Mm. And that is very much part of conventional morality.
Okay. What is the karmic consequence for the manipulator in that scenario?
I would say that sooner or later they will make a mistake, they will get found out. I had a very interesting situation once. There was a manipulator who was absolutely brilliant, covered their tracks totally. And what happened was a person who was being victimized by them got an inspiration, possibly we could even say a divine touching in their mind, and they heard this kind of inner voice in which they were told, go and speak to so and so. And this voice came to them a few times, and they didn't even know that particular so-and-so, so they had to find out and then how to make contact with them, and eventually wrote a letter to them, and the whole thing blew wide open, you see. So this, if that hadn't happened, it would have carried on indefinitely, you see. But I think it's a sort of a karmic consequence that you can continue only up to a certain point, and then something will kick in where it collapses. Because I think that there's a spiritual law which says that you cannot obtain unlimited power over someone by the use of force, by the use of aggression, by the use of inflicting harm, you see. And so a point comes where it just falls apart. And I think we've seen this time and time and again in history, where individuals decided that they could attain military superiority over the whole world. You have the example of Alexander, Julius Caesar, Hitler, you know, so many individuals who, when they almost got there, everything collapsed. And this is actually described as a spiritual law.
So somebody has been manipulated for a day, a month, a year, and that situation has now come to an end externally, and yet they are left inside with feelings of you'll take us through it. Okay, what I want to know is when somebody is in such a position where they feel disempowered and disenfranchised, how do they act to protect themselves?
Well, first of all, it's not going to be manipulated for a day, a month, a year. It's going to begin in childhood, and there's a setup that's created where that child is
groomed.
Yes. And if a person hasn't been groomed, they can quickly defend themselves. So, but the problem is, there is so many, many people who are in dysfunctional families. I read statistics 30 years ago which said that 94% of people in the United States are raised in dysfunctional families, which is the same as everybody, and that was 30 years ago. And I believe that things have got much more complex since that time. And so I think we're dealing with something really pandemic. But yet there are going to be a few individuals here and there who have the fortune, and you can also say the good karma, to be born into families who take care of them in a very good way, so they remain these lights in that big darkness, and then they are able to articulate and point to the problem. But it's a small minority. That is the difficulty, and this is why what we're looking at is a new normal, where it's normal to be in a setup, to be manipulated, and so on and so forth. And there's an amount of manipulation that society in general sort of accepts that that's par for the course, you know. And then you get people who are either determined to be manipulators or manipulees, because there doesn't seem to be any way to be neither a manipulator nor a manipulee.
Okay, so the second part of my question was, if somebody is a victim of a manipulator, what does that do to their spirit?
Well, it compromises their ability to protect themselves. It will cut holes in their sense of self-respect. And so if a person in that situation really does have access to know how to build themselves spiritually, how to repair themselves, then they can do that. But unfortunately, it's not so many people who can and do that. Mm. But everyone who does that, they're a light. Mm. They're a role model. Mm. They're an example that it can be done. Mm. And so the more you do get people like that, the more it gives hope, and also the details of the way. If this person did it, then I can do it.
So Denise, I once knew somebody who had developed ovarian cancer in her 40s, and as a result of it being such an incredibly traumatic experience, she had young children at the time. She said she had no other choice but to look inside and ask herself some important questions, and the one thing she realized about herself was that in her entire life she could never bring herself to say no to anyone or anything. And as you speak, her face comes to mind, because she sounds to me to have been the victim of manipulation.
Definitely, because you're trained. If you say no, that's bad. You know, you have to say yes, you have to comply, you have to conform. Non-conformists are bad. People who don't agree with the external moral authorities, they're marginalized. You're an outcast, you're criminalized, all of this, you see. So if you want to be considered a good person, you will go along with it, because you're told that, you know, nice girls say yes. You know, only bad people say no, you see. Mm-hmm. And so when she did this, then she would have realized that all of that was nothing other than grooming to be a cancer victim.
And submissive.
Yes.
Speaking of submissive, does being manipulated make you submissive?
Oh, yes.
And okay, and in that line, what else does it do to you? Apart from being
so, it makes you give away your power.
Ah,
you see,
okay.
And then you're defenseless. You see, because it teaches you that somebody who's in their own power, there's a bad person. You know, and especially women are trained like this, because conventional morality emerged from a situation historically where there were problems between men and women. And so the solution was, well, you know, the way we get around this is the men are always right and the women have to follow them, because the men are the husbands, so they take care. Women are fields into which seeds are planted and you get children, the fruits. Or women are blood, you know, and out of blood you make children. Or, you know, women are white. You know, the marriage dress in Christianity is white. The marriage dress in Hinduism is red or green, indicating blood or a field. And so the woman is always thought of as just a thing, you see, for a purpose. And so the denial of a woman as a person in her own right created this situation, which over the period of thousands of years turned into something which is monstrous, because the original idea was a reaction to a problem figured out by someone who thought that was a good idea at the time, and everybody else thought so too, and it worked for a while as long as people were naturally powerful. But as time went on, and the human spirits gradually lost their strength, and contrary to popular belief, people haven't been really evolving spiritually. They've been evolving militarily and technically and maybe financially, but not morally, you see. And so this is really an extreme situation that we're in, and because it's extreme, we're questioning everything. And that is reasonable.
Mm. If somebody knows that they're falling into the category that you just described, and they're, as a result of years of grooming, gullible and susceptible to manipulation, what should he, she do in order to protect himself, herself?
I think it's really looking deep inside, and the act of looking deep inside separates you from your grooming.
Wait, hold on. That is a very nice line. Say it again.
You have to look deep inside, and the act of looking deep inside separates you from your grooming, because you start to say, I'm going to think for myself. Because previously, you didn't believe that thinking for yourself had much validity, because everybody has been telling you thinking for yourself is anyway flawed and bad, so we will think for you, you will do what we think, and that makes you a good person. And so you start to realize that you have been fed a lot of lies, and so you become really isolated. But by the time you're adult, you can manage to be isolated. The problem is when a child is violated in this way, or groomed, or whatever, they can't isolate themselves, because if they do, they're in very grave danger of predators. And this is what happens to children who run away from home. They go onto the streets and they get picked up by the flesh trade, effectively.
Mm. I like this expression that you used. They've been fed a lot of lies. If somebody has been fed lies day in and day out, year in and year out, and all those lies have imprinted on their memory, their neurons, etc., how does one then know what actual reality is, as opposed to the reality that you've always known? It must be incredibly difficult for Denise to make that shift.
Well, it's difficult, but again, there are pioneers who are very powerful, courageous, independent thinking people, and who connect themselves with spirituality, because spirituality is not coming from humanity. It's coming from another source. And so it can come and touch a person just like that, and empower a person. And I think that the source of spirituality is God, and that it is actually quite interesting that in India, the main scripture is the Bhagavad Gita, and in there, there's an interesting promise that God makes. And the promise is that whenever there is the extreme of irreligion and unrighteousness, I come and I destroy irreligion and I establish true religion. So that's a little statement that everybody's heard of who's ever been in that culture or read that book. But once it actually becomes the time for that, then things start moving independently of human agency, huh? Because God is not a human. It's a, you know, this word Deus ex machina. It's outside of the system. An energy comes from outside and starts changing things around. And a few people who are sensitive to that, people who very deeply love, will pick it up and will become part of that. And then they will become catalysts for change. And they will actually receive a great deal of power, guidance, insight, and so on from God in this process of shift, shifting civilization from what I consider to be fundamentally materialistic-based ethics and morality to pure spirituality, which is contained within the being known as God.
And how specifically has one's relationship with God heal one from being a victim of manipulation? What is the processes? What is the healing that occurs?
God is known in most traditions as the great healer. In India, there is this expression Vaidyanath, which is one of the descriptions of Shiva, Vaidyanath, the Lord of Healing, you see. And the Ayurvedic system of healing, you take herbs which cause whatever is very deep rooted, the deep disease, to erupt, and then it comes out. So I think that looking at that, if a person just loves God, and if they do that, they will love humanity too. And they, their love that is natural to them, that is a divine gift, will make them see when things are really not right, and they will respond to that. The more they are going to get close to God, the more they're going to be receptive to God and take strength from God, and they will start to act as a catalyst acts to get things to happen more quickly.
Okay. So what I got from what you just said is, even though somebody comes from a dark space of having been victimized and manipulated, they could use that as an impetus for their spiritual journey.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's definitely actually kind of beautiful, because that is turning it around, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
And there is this idea in spirituality, the power to transform. And if you just get a bit of spiritual power into yourself, your attitude towards your trauma is, well, I'm going to use this to my advantage instead of allow it to destroy me, because I have choice.
Mm. Yeah.
Once you start to assert your right to choice, you are empowering yourself.
Are you then saying that even though somebody has been a victim of manipulation, has been gullible and submissive and weak their entire lives, they could use this as an impetus to start their spiritual journey? Because if they have enough motivation, can they walk
the path? You see, as soon as a person sees that what happened to them is not because of who they are or what they are, but something somebody outside did, then they immediately change their sense of self, you see, and they immediately take their power back and say, okay, you know, basically, whoever you people are who tried to abuse me, from now on, you're rejected. Now I'm with myself. I'm going to take this situation and I'm going to turn it to my advantage, because I can and I will. And I will use this to enable me to really connect with my truth as a person. And I will use it to help me gather my strength, my virtues, my connection with God, and my independence from those who sought to bring me under their sway. This is a decision. Once a person makes that decision, they have broken the bondage to those people, and they are now their own person, do you see?
Yes, I do. And how and where does God feature in all of this?
I think God is with you. When a person is being badly treated, God is very kind and compassionate, and will be present for those who are being badly treated. So the bad treatment is not punishment for some karma, but really some negative karma is being done to them. And the moment a person refers themselves to God, the force of God becomes available to them and gives them the ability to actually extract themselves from something which may require more than just their own strength. And there are many people who say, you know, I got power from God to do the thing that I could not do myself. Many people say that. So it has become something that you can, that is, like, you know that you can do.
Sister Denise, thank you so much. I think that brings us to the end of this show, and I really want to thank you for sharing your incredible sense of strength and wisdom. And what I like about this episode is that Sister Denise has shared that although somebody starts off being on the back foot, one can heal, one can transform, and one can take power from the divine and make yourself whole again. I really like the idea of God showing up for you at your time of need, which is very sweet and uplifting, because it makes one feel that even though one may be alone in this journey of self-repair, God is there to hold your hand, which is very touching. And so, Sister Denise, I thank you for your time and your words, and you at home, I hope you've benefited from this talk. And if you've identified with anything that Sister Denise has shared today, I hope that you are able to use her words as an inspiration for your own inner healing. Thank you and goodbye.